Changing stories, new disclosures, secret flights, and faulty memories. Tonight, it is a whole new manhunt for Brian Laundrie, and much of what we thought we knew was wrong.
Somebody needs to start talking. I do believe they know a lot more information than
Gabby Petito's parents, Brian Laundrie's sister, the family attorney, all speaking out, all making news, and they are all straight ahead on a jam-packed hour of Banfield. Hello and welcome to Banfield. I might have pointed out that tonight makes 3 solid weeks since the last reported sighting of Brian Laundrie, but I am not going to do that. Because today, Laundrie's own parents, who had told police that their son took off for a nearby swamp on September 14th, 3 weeks ago today, well, they suddenly realized that they'd misremembered the dates. And now they're pretty darn sure he set out the whole day before. That would be September 13th, which really wouldn't be that big a deal, except everything. And while Laundrie's whereabouts tonight are as big a mystery as they have been for the past 3 weeks plus one day, the family lawyer just dropped another huge piece of information about Brian's comings and goings while we all thought that he was in the van with Gabby in Utah and in Wyoming. It seems Brian flew back to Florida mid-van life journey, and he stayed there almost a week before rejoining his fiance, who'd been left back out west. Oh, and there's more. Brian Laundrie's sister, Cassie, the only Laundrie family member to speak publicly so far, well, she spoke again today, and what she said was nothing short of deafening. She said if she knew where Brian is hiding, and this is a quote, "I would turn him in." I'm joined now by my News Nation colleague, the indispensable Brian Enten, who's in Northport, Florida, in front of that little yellow bungalow. Brian, you could have heard a pin drop when Cassie suggested that her brother should turn himself in. Let's play that for our audience. Take a look.
I really wish he had come to me first that day with the van, because I don't think we'd be here. I worry about him. I hope he's okay. And then I'm angry and I don't know what to think. I would tell my brother to just come forward and get us out of this horrible mess.
Brian Enten, this is far more than Cassie Laundrie has been willing to say up until now. How is it landing where you stand?
Well, I think it is safe to say, Ashley, that Cassie has gone rogue at this point. I mean, she is speaking her mind. She came out on the lawn yesterday. No one expected it. She talked for close to 20 minutes with the protesters, really just going into detail, answering all of their questions. And then she was back on TV today with that interview, basically saying she hasn't talked to her parents. She won't say what she thinks her parents know. She's not standing up for her parents. She's not standing up for her brother. It seems like her biggest concern right now are her children and her family, and she appears now wanting to make it known that she is not part of whatever could be happening in this house behind me.
Okay, so our investigation, along with your investigation where you are in Florida, has put together all of these popcorn clues to try to make sense of all this. And one of them that never made sense was that Cassie actually did go to that Fort DeSoto campground at the time when Brian was home early without his fiance. And of course they would be talking about where's Cassie. But here's what she said to Good Morning America about everything seeming normal on the 6th of September when she went to visit the campground. Take a look.
The last time I physically saw and the last time I physically spoke to my brother was on the 6th. I've tried to get in touch with him. Phone went to voicemail. We just went for a couple of hours and we ate dinner and had s'mores around the campfire and left. And there was nothing peculiar about it. There was no feeling of grand goodbye. There was no nothing. I'm frustrated that in hindsight, I didn't pick up on anything. It was just a regular visit.
So, Brian, how is this interview sitting? Because this has been a big bone of contention to the point where it brought protesters to her front door. How is this now going over?
Well, as it goes for the protesters, they told me today that they are satisfied with Cassie talking to them. They feel like they got what they wanted. She came out, she told them her story, and they made basically a promise to Cassie that they would not be returning to her house, that they would now be focusing only on the laundry parents' house right here behind me. They did say if they caught her in a lie or something, they would go back to her neighborhood, but they seem somewhat satisfied with what she said. What's interesting is thinking about what her parents must be thinking in the house behind me, considering she has now gone rogue. She's basically calling them out, saying she doesn't know whether to trust her own parents, and saying that the attorney representing her parents and representing Brian has thrown her under the bus.
Brian, it's incredible how she addressed that with Good Morning America, because she actually went there suggesting if they are in fact helping my brother, that they should come clean. And I mean, I don't know if that's music to the ears of the protesters. Let's take a look at that moment that she said that on the morning show.
I'd say Brian's a mediocre survivalist. It wouldn't surprise me if he could last out there a very long time. But also, I don't think anything would surprise me at this point. If the FBI finds him in Timbuktu, I'd be like, all right, well, that's where he was. I've got nothing. I hope my brother is alive, because I want answers just as much as everybody else.
Well, there was another moment where she, suggested that the parents need to actually come clean if they know something and are hiding it. And that, look, I think for those of us who believe that's true, we're frustrated, we're angry with the people who live in that house behind you. At the same time, it is very hard to see a daughter splitting from her parents in such a public and devastating way. But it seems to me that this is exactly what everybody's been wanting, a bit like Power to the People. Maybe the protesters had worn her down.
Yeah, and they said to her yesterday, we want you to go on camera and plead for your brother to come forward. And that is exactly what she has now done. Whether or not she's genuine, obviously people have different opinions. But I think it's interesting. She says she's not talking to her parents now. And she says she hasn't basically talked to them since September 6th when they were at the campsite. But you just have to think about the way you, in that clip, she describes this camp out. She said she had her kids. She was at the campsite. I think she said from 2 to 8 p.m. It was 6 hours that she was out there at Fort DeSoto. She showed pictures of her kids with Brian and said that she didn't think anything strange was going on. But you can't help but wonder, like, were they talking about Gabby? Did Gabby come up? And how was she not very, very concerned that her brother's fiance was not there?
Yeah, and here is this moment. We were just trying to sort through all the things that she said, but here's the moment where she implored her own parents that if they are hiding him, they need to do something about it now and come clean. Take a look.
I don't know if my parents are involved. I think if they are, then they should come clean.
Man, now that's a big difference. Okay, so Brian, I'm going to switch gears slightly because I'm sure you know, as well as everyone else who's been following this story, that the mystery is starting to just show clues. And a lot of those clues came today when all four of Gabby Petito's parents, her mom, her dad, and her stepmom and her stepdad, as well as their lawyer, sat down with Dr. Phil, and they just dropped so much information that we didn't know before. I want to play this first moment. It broke my heart to see them talk about how they identified their daughter, but it came down at the beginning to a special sweatshirt, something that they knew she owned, that she had purchased locally where they knew it had been purchased at home, and they told Dr. Phil about that moment. Have a look.
And when did they show you the article of clothing?
They described a piece of clothing to me that matched one of her favorite sweatshirts that we knew was hers.
So at one point they presented you with some identifying information so you could verify that it
It was her. So if I can add, it was from a local shop.
It was a
so that we knew it was her.
It was her.
Brian, this is the kind of information that just, you know, hits so close to home for parents and step parents, but maybe not for parents who are behind you in that house. I'm assuming they haven't shown hide nor hair today with this kind of information coming out.
No, I mean, first of all, it's heartbreaking every time I hear Gabby's parents and step-parents talk about this situation, especially details like that, because, you know, we were covering it during that time, and you're sort of wondering what's happening behind the scenes with the family, and they're obviously having to identify her, and to hear the way that that went down really is just heartbreaking. But as far as the reaction from the laundries, I mean, let's walk over to the house. I mean, this is what it's been like. I was just thinking earlier, I think this might be the longest stretch we've seen without them coming out of the house. Very briefly today, Mr. Laundry came and received a package at the screen door right there, but it was just for a second. He didn't even come outside the screened-in area. The grass is getting long. It hasn't been mowed, and they haven't left at all. So we really have no indication. Are they inside watching Dr. Phil? Did they see their daughter on the news? Are they just shutting everything out and just talking to the lawyer? We really don't know.
You know, I'm going to ask your cameraman, Luis, who's been so good at helping us, you know, be the tour guide of what the scene is there, just to go back in and show me those flowers. And the reason I want to see the flowers is because I want to introduce this next soundbite from Dr. Phil. It's fitting that there are flowers on the screen as I explain to our viewers what they're about to see. And if you don't know this already, folks, the flower bombings have been happening. The public has been sending flowers to the home of Brian Laundrie's parents with cards adorned with Gabby, in memory of Gabby. And the reason I wanted Luis, the cameraman, to show that picture was because today, Gabby's mom, Nicole Schmidt, was asked by Dr. Phil about the excruciating moment that a mom is told it is over, we have found your daughter, and she's not alive. Have a look.
I knew what we were potentially going to find when we came here, and I felt that it was my responsibility to make that call, and I was able to compose myself, and we got everybody on a conference call, and I was able to relay it to everyone.
Nikki, what did he say to you when you were on that call? What do you remember?
He said that they found remains, and we knew it was Gabby, even though we were hoping it wasn't. It was the hardest thing I've ever had to listen to, and it didn't hit me right away, and for a few seconds. But I knew she was gone. As a mom, I knew she was gone.
I mean, this is just so heartrending to see this. And Brian Enten, as you and Luis show us that, you know, unexpected memorial, because, you know, the Laundries certainly weren't expecting that to be outside their house. But now it is a tribute to Gabby outside their house. I also wanted to play this moment where Gabby's mom is married to Jim Schmidt, the stepdad. And he was the one who had to tell everybody, because he was in Wyoming. He was the one who had to tell everyone they'd found the sweatshirt. They'd made the connection. They knew that it was Gabby. And it was just awful to hear him explain how you make that phone call to a mom and a dad and a stepmom. Have a listen.
I knew what we were potentially going to find when we came here. And I felt that it was my responsibility to make that call. And I was able to compose myself. And we got everybody on a conference call. And I was able to relay it to everyone.
Nikki, what did he say to you?
Okay, Brian, I'm so sorry. That was the wrong moment, but I do want to give a little bit of background to what happened to Jim Schmidt. In his own words, he said that the FBI was extremely tender, that they had organized a hotel conference room for privacy, that they had brought him into the conference room to explain this special sweatshirt, and then they had set up the conference call for him to actually reach out to Joe Petito and his wife, you know, obviously Jim Schmidt's wife, Nicole, and then also the stepmother. And I'll tell you, it was he described it as though you would be in the room and you could have heard a pin drop. Brian, don't go anywhere. I have to fit in a break. When I come back after the break, though, I want to talk a little bit about what those four parents say about the current situation on the manhunt, the person that everyone's looking for, and their direct message to Brian Laundrie. That's coming up in just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back. If you blinked today, you missed a veritable avalanche of news in the manhunt for Brian Laundrie and the story of Gabby Petito. There are four parents in Gabby Petito's life who are grieving. And they sat down with Dr. Phil and told of a lot of details that we had not heard until now. A lot of details that helped put things into context. And I'm going to give you one right now that really tweaked my interest. It was that their lawyer said, and I quote, "Brian stole her credit card and used it to get home to Florida." That's the first time that we had heard that bank fraud charge actually does pertain to Gabby's credit card and the use of it to get back to Florida. That was a bit of a news breaker. There was another thing that all four of them said, that they believe that he is, in fact, on the run, and not for a moment do they think he is missing and in need of finding in that respect. They say he's in need of finding because he is on the run and is a fugitive from justice. So I just want to play that moment where they explain that to Dr. Phil in their very measured and extraordinarily classy way. This is the moment where Tara and Joe Petito, that's Joe Petito's wife, and Nicole and Jim Schmidt, Nicole is Gabby Petito's mom, they answered that very question from Dr. Phil. Have a look.
I think at first, many people thought that Brian was so distraught that he went off and killed himself, took his own life. Do y'all now 100% believe that he is out there hiding somewhere? You believe he's hiding somewhere? You believe he's hiding somewhere? Do you believe he's hiding somewhere?
I do.
Why do you believe that?
Because he's a coward. Flat out. I'd use some other words, but I can't use them on your show. He's a coward.
He's too coward to kill himself, too coward to come forward.
Yep.
He's just on the run.
Anyone that lived in that house is a coward.
And out in front of that house is Brian Enten, who is no coward. He's been staking out for a better part of almost what I think we're getting on 4 weeks now, Brian, that you've been there. I could not believe the fact that they also told Dr. Phil today, Brian, that they still don't know the results of the autopsy, that this many days later, even the family has revealed they are in the dark along with the rest of us. And the people in the house behind you are probably going to rue the day that the autopsy results come out, because that could mean a greater world of hurt for their son.
Yeah, absolutely. A few things. First of all, every FBI, former FBI agent that we've interviewed says they also still believe that Brian Laundrie is alive and on the run. So they agree with the parents. And as you mentioned, the autopsy report, that also is apparently not a surprise to people in law enforcement that it hasn't been released because it's now part of the investigation. They don't want to compromise the investigation. But, you know, listening to Gabby's family again, you mentioned the word classy. I mean, they are just so classy and emotional. And you can feel it when you're out here. You saw the flowers by the front door, but I wanted to show you real quick that it's not just by the front door. There are people sending flowers from all over the country here because they're seeing these interviews with the Petitos, and there's many out here also, and also messages for the family. So hopefully Gabby's family knows that there are so many people around the country that are thinking of them and really have their back right now, Ashley.
Can you read some of those messages? The camera, Luis was looking at it. I couldn't read it fast enough, though. Can you tell me what some of those messages say on those little placards?
Yeah, let's see. So this one here, up here with the picture, says, "I was here once." That's been a very popular slogan that people will write here because Gabby, we know, lived in this house at one time. I'm going to go around the back of you, Luis. I want to show this one here because I don't want to, like, disturb anything, obviously, but I can sort of see this one. "God bless you. Rest in peace. And this is from a family, it looks like, in New Hampshire. Some of these are fresh from just today. And then there's a few other interesting things also, like this laundry basket. Someone actually sent out a laundry basket, I guess sort of trying to send a message to the family saying, dirty laundry, come clean. So a lot of interesting things. And bear with me, actually, my earpiece just came out, so let me plug it back in while you sort of talk for a second.
Okay. Well, and thank you, because I actually wanted to say one of the other pieces of information, Brian and Luis, is that the family of Gabby Petito said to Dr. Phil that they had called and texted over and over to the laundry parents in that little yellow bungalow, and they constantly got voicemail and no answer. And in the millennials term or next gen term, that's called ghosting. They were ghosted completely by the laundry family, which, by the way, really led in beautifully to Dr. Phil's next question, and that was how Joe Petito felt about Mr. and Mrs. Laundry, if in fact Brian has done this, their behavior. Take a look at this. This was him saying that the children, at least in his house, have to stand up for themselves. Take a look.
I'm a dad. I make my kids stand up for their decisions. You know, if they make a mistake, I'll help you. I'll walk you through that path, but you're going to own up to your mistake, because that's what a parent does, not what they're doing. I'm sorry.
Thing ready. That was pretty strong, Brian Enten. I don't know if you can hear me again, if your earpiece is in, but that was a very strong, message to the laundries that, you know, do the right thing. Make your child stand up for any mistakes if he's made them, and maybe help him on that path, but that the path that they're taking, in their opinion, is the wrong one.
Well, and you mentioned earlier that Gabby's family has said that the laundries have ignored them, especially when they first were trying to find Gabby and knew that she was missing. They said that that the laundries would not return their calls or text messages. And I found this so interesting. When Cassie spoke yesterday, she wanted to make the point, and she wasn't even asked about this. She just wanted to tell people on camera that she said, look, I'm not included in that group. She said, I wasn't personally getting any calls or texts from the Petitos. If I had, I would have responded immediately. So again, it was just interesting to see Cassie sort of try to differentiate herself from the parents in the house behind me.
Just remarkable. Brian, don't go anywhere, because when we come back, I want to address something that you have been reporting on for weeks. And that is that when the Petitos hit the press to say our girl is missing, and they wanted the country to be on the lookout for her, help us find our daughter, Gabby, the people in the house behind you did not do anything of the like when they suggested a day earlier than they told us that their son was somehow missing. When we come back, I'm going to play that moment of what the Petitos thought about the difference in how these two families have handled that. We're coming right back after the break with Brian Enten.
We couldn't find Gabby. What did we do to find Gabby? I mean, we did anything to find Gabby. Everything. We talked to everyone we could, get on as many cameras as we could. What did they do to find Brian? They called the cops, haven't done a thing since. I haven't seen them on any TV shows, Find Brian. Why do you think that is?
Back with me, Brian Enten, who has been asking that same question for weeks. Brian, just confirm for me, although I think I know the answer, never once did Mr. and Mrs. Laundry come out to the press that has been in front nonstop for the last almost 4 weeks and ask you all to help find their son, who they swear is missing.
Never once, and every single time they come out, either we are here or another reporter is here. I can't even count how many times they've come out. They've gone to the red truck. They walk very, very slowly to the red truck, and we get a chance to shout questions. Every time in the beginning, I'd say, do you know where Gabby is? Do you know where Gabby is? Then when, unfortunately, we found out where Gabby was, we started asking, where is Brian? Where is Brian? Every single time, the mom usually puts her head down, and neither of them say a word.
So I'll tell you what, there's a really strong word that Joe Petito and his wife, Tara, as well as Nicole Schmidt, who's Gabby's mom, and her husband, Jim, they all have the same exact message for Brian Enten. Brian Laundry. I wonder how many times that mistake has happened, Brian. They had the same message for Brian Laundry, and they said this to Dr. Phil. I want to play it, if I can right now, the message they have for Brian Laundry. Take a look.
If he's watching this and stranger things have happened, what would you say to him if he's watching this right this minute?
This is where I should wash my mouth, right?
Turn yourself in.
Turn yourself in.
Turn yourself
Turn
in.
Turn yourself in.
Turn yourself in.
Why?
We want to know the truth. Because if you truly loved her, you should turn yourself in.
You're only making it worse. For us, and for himself, and for his family. Let us have some closure. Let us come to an end to this tragic period and just move on and be able to remember Gabby for all the wonderful memories we had with her and not looking at a TV screen every day wondering if he's going to be found. Just turn yourself in.
That's damn good advice. And Brian, if you're listening to me right now, let me tell you something. You may have done the wrong thing then. Do the right thing now.
That is some pretty serious imploring from four parents and Dr. Phil, who has a massive audience. I just wonder if the audience involves the two people who live in the little bungalow behind you.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's no telling. I mean, it's usually dark in there. We don't know. Were they watching Dr. Phil today? Have they watched any of the coverage? We don't know. But just listening to that entire moment, I just kept thinking about all of the good that the Petitos want to do, and they've been clear about it. They want to educate people about domestic violence. They want to start a foundation. They want to help find other missing people. But really, to have the focus on that, the world needs to find Brian Laundry. They need to be able to close that chapter so they can move on to what they want to do next.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Brian, because the foundation is called the Gabby Petito Foundation. You can Google it and you can find it. You know, do your own due diligence. Make sure you're not getting an imposter. But I'm glad you said that, because Joe Petito did say to Dr. Phil today that he wants this all to have meaning. He doesn't want Gabby to have died in vain. He wants something good to come of this. And thank God that he's got the wherewithal to appear and say this and make a public appeal to go to this foundation and help find other missing people. All right, Brian, something big happened today. A number of things all came together. You know how you and I have been trying to talk through clues every night and figure out these missing pieces to the puzzle? Today, our staff really came together and discovered some clues that all lead to the Appalachian Trail, the place where apparently a tipster said he saw Brian Laundry. I want to play for you this last moment from Dr. Phil, where lo and behold, the parents of Gabby Petito brought it all full circle about the Appalachian Trail. Have a look.
North Carolina authorities are investigating calls that Brian is hiding on the Appalachian Trail. Do you think he's capable of doing that?
Yeah, some of the trips that they took before this, they did camp and hike along the Appalachian Trail, especially in that region. They're very familiar with that area. And that was one of the things that we kind of worried about before this trip, was in the Appalachian Trail. So you always hear different stories about things that happen there and how really desolate it is in certain areas, and that was always a concern of ours.
She always came home safe.
She'd
go for 3 or 4 days, and then they'd come home and they were
But
fine.
They are familiar. He is familiar
He's
with
very
that
familiar
area.
With it, yes.
So the Appalachian Trail becomes more fascinating. Brian Enten, I can't thank you enough for doing all this work. Will you keep us posted throughout the hour if you see any movement or if anything happens?
Absolutely, Ashley. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian Enten. And please thank Luis, who's doing remarkable photojournalism for us as well. And they rarely sleep and they don't eat a lot either. So we're very thankful for their hard work. When we come back, you heard it. It was said on Dr. Phil. It was said by a tipster. And we have found two other clues that we didn't know existed that lead to the Appalachian Trail. What are the clues? Find out in just a couple minutes. Welcome back. I have something very interesting to share with you, a little bit of gumshoe detective work that was done in our newsroom today. And I want you to take a look at a series of images of Brian Laundry and then see if you can tell me what stands out to you. Let's roll it. What do all of these images and pictures and videos have in common? Just keep looking. I think it's going to dawn on you pretty quickly. It is an orange t-shirt. He really loves this. The t-shirt that he has been wearing on a lot of his Instagram posts, as well as Gabby's, you guessed it, that's what's on it, the logo of the Appalachian Trail. Our team noticed that shirt and several more images where he wears that exact same shirt. It's obviously in Brian's travel kit, and now they seem less like mementos than maybe clues, since a hiker actually reported meeting someone that he is almost, and he says 99.9% positive, was Brian Laundry. That happened over the weekend near the Tennessee-North Carolina border. It was on the Appalachian Trail, and wouldn't you know it, Brian Laundry's sister told ABC today that he's been known to hike that trail for days at a time, and it came up yet again in the Petito family's visit with Dr. Phil.
North Carolina authorities are investigating calls that Brian is hiding on the Appalachian Trail. Do you think he's capable of doing that?
Yeah, some of the trips that they took before this, they did camp and hike along the Appalachian Trail, especially in that region. They're very familiar with that area. And that was one of the things that we kind of worried about before this trip was in the Appalachian Trail. So you always hear different stories about things that happened there and how really desolate it is in certain areas. And that was always a concern of ours.
She always came home safe.
She'd go for three or four days
and then they'd come home and they were
But
fine.
They are familiar. He is familiar.
I'd say Brian's a mediocre survivalist. It wouldn't surprise me if he could last out there a very long time. But also, I don't think anything would surprise me at this point. If the FBI finds him in Timbuktu, I'd be like, all right, well, that's where he was. I've got nothing. I hope my brother is alive because I want answers just as much as everybody else.
Mediocre survivalist, his sister says. I want you to take a look at the Appalachian Trail because it is not a Sunday hike. From end to end, Georgia to Maine, it's 2,200 miles and it goes through 14 states. See if we can throw some pictures up there so you can get an idea for yourself, because I'm going to speak to someone who hiked every inch of it. There's a name for someone who does that. It's called a through hiker. It's Julia Sheehan, and she joins me now to give me a bit of a feel for what that trail is like if Brian Laundry is in fact on it. Julia, thank you for joining me. We're going to roll some pictures of the trail, and I'd love you to tell me what someone can actually expect if you're out on the Appalachian Trail and you do plan to spend a long time on it like you did, 5+ months. Is it easy to find shelter?
Thank you so much for having me, first off. And I do want to talk a little bit about the Appalachian Trail and just how rugged it actually is, from insane mountain climbs to torrential downpours, extreme heat, and everything in between. The Appalachian Trail is a beast all in itself. From starting myself with no experience to successfully through hiking 172 days later, I can tell you that it will test every ounce of your being and make sure that you are completely stripped of any pride, and it will just completely humble you.
So that is fascinating to hear it, because when I saw the map, and I always thought it was long, I just didn't know it was that long. You would go from some of the coldest cold to the hottest hot and some of the most rugged terrain. And Brian Laundry's sister says he's a, quote, mediocre survivalist. Do you think he can last on this trail for very long?
I think that with enough sheer will, anyone can survive on the Appalachian Trail. I had absolutely no experience and I was able to survive. However, he is hiking at an inopportune time during the year, especially in the location that they believe that he is. Along the Tennessee-North Carolina border is very rugged, high mountainous regions, and we'll see a lot of snow and rugged and intense weather here coming up soon. So I don't know. I mean, I know when I hiked in the Great Smoky Mountains along the Tennessee and North Carolina border in 2019 that we were taken off trail from blizzards in April. So I think the weather is something that hopefully, if he is there, will draw him out.
Well, it's beautiful. We're seeing some of these images of yours and it with the mosquito net as well. So clearly there'll be other challenges with, the wildlife. But just quickly, I read that there are lean-tos, which are platforms with three walls where you can, you know, sleep and find shelter. You can hang your food to keep it safe. And there's little, outhouses called privies. And I'm thinking about all of those in a different light now, not so much that they're great for campers, but they're also particularly good for people trying to hide. Would he come across other hikers frequently? And would it be normal to hide your face and walk by? Or do all hikers have a sense of community and talk to one another on the trail?
I believe that on the trail there is a huge sense of community, so he would not go unnoticed. However, your face and the way your body looks changes very rapidly when you are depleting your body of calories. There are also many places to hide and to kind of hide away from the trail. The trail is very vast and long, and there are a ton of side trails and reroutes and different locations to kind of stow away and hide. So I definitely think that it's somewhere that you could definitely hide from, you know, your reality on trail. I chose to do it for a different reason, but I definitely think that he could survive out there. Like I said, if I could, anyone can. And I think he will start seeing some southbound hikers that start late summer, and they are a very tough bunch of people. They are very resilient, and I can't foresee him not being caught once they kind of intersect his location, if that's where he is.
Well, you have been so informative about the terrain that's out there. I so appreciate it. Congratulations, by the way, for accomplishing that feat. That's remarkable. I don't think I could do it. And thank you for helping us understand what it is he might be up against if, in fact, he's there. Julia Sheehan, I appreciate it. And we'd like to tap into you, you know, another time to get more information about it as this story continues. Thank you, Julia.
Thank you.
So how does one go about finding a solitary hiker in 2,200 miles of wilderness? After the break, you're going to learn how the FBI goes about it, because they're no strangers to that kind of manhunt. In fact, we're going to talk to the guy who hunted for Eric Rudolph for years. Next. In any manhunt, the person being hunted has the advantage for a while. But at some point, skills and experience and resources, well, that starts to favor the hunter. And that brings me to my next guest, Chris Swecker. He headed up the FBI manhunt for the Olympic Park bomber Eric Rudolph and has a pretty good idea of what Brian Laundrie is up against. Chris, you are just perfect for this, given the fact that Brian Laundrie's sister says he is, quote, a mediocre survivalist. I wanted to get your thoughts on this, these points coming together on the possibility he's on the Appalachian Trail. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I know the parts of the trail. I'm from North Carolina. I ran the FBI office here for 5 years. We've had fugitive hunts up there. It is a fairly well-traveled trail, and I believe he will come across people if he is in fact on the trail. But I've heard from at least from the news reports here in North Carolina that the sheriffs have run down these leads. They think it's possible, but they haven't done it. They haven't found anything that corroborates that he is in fact on the trail. But however, I will in comparing him to Eric Rudolph, as you pointed out, people go where they're familiar. Well, if he's familiar with the trail, then you certainly can't discount that. That's what Eric Rudolph did for 5 years. He never left the area, so it's very logical. And I think the North Carolina office of the FBI is concentrating on this. But I'd like to see more verification, more corroboration.
I mean, it's fascinating that you yourself say that people like Rudolph stay where they know, you know, what's what. And there were the parents today telling Dr. Phil he knows that trail like the back of his hand. There's his sister saying, yeah, he goes up there 4 days at a time all the time, real comfortable there. But again, mediocre at best. I want to show our viewers, apart from these beautiful images of the trail, I want to show our viewers some of the tattoos that Brian Laundrie has, because, you know, you can cover up your face and you can grow your hair, but you can't cover up tattoos, especially when they're on your hands. Eventually, you got to take a glove off if you have it. He's got those tattoos of leaves on his finger. And then on the side of his hand, you can see on the left-hand side of that picture, There's a sort of a small mountain range tattooed on the side of his hand. This has got to be helpful if people are going hiking on the trail. They should know about this, and they should just sort of watch for it. If someone doesn't seem like he's that same sense of community that Julia Sheehan told us about in the segment before you.
Yeah, these are great identifiers, the tattoos that you're talking about. I would say, Ashley, that most of the hikers on the trail don't hike the trail end to end. They hike little segments of the trail, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day hike. So whoever's hiking the trail right now, particularly this time of year, has been exposed to the media. Now, there may be a culture there that they just kind of pass people by and don't, or they're just not media watchers and they don't bother people on the trail. But I think this is the exception. He is well known. His photo is everywhere. You don't have to watch the mainstream media. It's all over every possible social media, every form of media. So I think he would be running a huge risk if he were in fact on the trail. Secondly, he needs to go indoors. It is going to get bitter up there. I mean, the wind chill factor up in the mountains of North Carolina will get below zero. And I just don't know if there's a lot of shelter up there where he could shelter by himself. So, I'm not discounting it. It's very possible that he's up there. But I'm a little bit skeptical of the source of information here.
So I'll tell you what, I have only about a minute left, but this is important because in the search for the Dannemora escapees in upstate New York, yes. They were breaking into cabins and they were stealing food and staying in people's cabins. And the police said, hey, if you have a cabin, go check and see if it's been messed with. Do you think people should be checking their cabins for Brian Laundrie? And again, I just have about 45 seconds left.
Yeah, the short answer is yes, because he will have to get inside. If he's on the trail, I just don't think he can stay outdoors with the weather coming up. It's fall. It's actually late fall now, and it's really cold up there. He can't stay outdoors, particularly if his sister is correct, that he's mediocre outdoorsman.
Mediocre at best. Christopher Swecker, thank you so much. I think we're going to have to call on you again just to see if there's anything else. I'm interested that you said the sheriffs aren't super excited about that one tip, but maybe if they listen to what the parents have all said about his penchant for that trail, it might make a difference. Thank you for your insights, sir, and thank you for your work in finding Eric Rudolph, too.
Thank you, Ashley. I appreciate it.
Chris Swecker joining us tonight. I just wanted to remind you, if you've been following this story, the Petito wonderful family have started the Gabby Petito Foundation. That is a really good thing to make yourself feel better and to help them feel better. Maybe help find other missing people. It's the Petito Foundation. Give it the Google. We'll see you back here tomorrow.